by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he commended the world, condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I just want to say tonight, I'm really overwhelmed with the love of God, the Father, and I just want to appreciate all the parts of the body here tonight. Because without everybody doing their part, you feed off of one another. Everybody's character, everybody's part, and everybody praying for one another, and everybody just connecting. And I tell the Father in the mornings when I'm going out on the boat, I just appreciate you, Father, allowing me to ride on your waters that you created, and participating and being able to, experience these fish and the people that are on the boat today. And so I'm just appreciative of the Father, of every one of you participating and doing their part, especially in the Torah. Like Brother Herman said before, it's encouraging when everybody shows up. It shows everybody who's on your side and who's helping and who's doing a part. And with that being said, with everything that we've been going through for the past couple of months, the teachings, the Torah, the feast, the seed war, all these pieces, just putting them together. And the word I want to use tonight is visualize. Sit in there and just, starting over and just visualizing. What we're talking about tonight is the beginning. And I thought about it real hard, about the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 6. That is the core of everything for us to live and to make it. We will struggle if we cannot visualize what this Genesis beginning is. We've gotten enough information from every side, every corner. When I read now, I stop for a moment, I pause, and I visualize what was going on, what was happening, how did they overcome, how did they get tricked, what happened towards the end, what did God like, what did he not like, and throughout your day of your, whatever you're doing, those events start to take place in your life and you got to stop, and you got to visualize, and when you visualize and put the pieces together, then you're going to react and respond the way you're supposed to make it to eternal life. Or we're going to just continue to struggle. But that visual is so important to the truth of every piece of it. I mean, when you stop and think about it, Adam and Eve, where they were in a glorious state. And then it puts the pieces back together. Like Moses' light, his face was light. He got close to the face of God. And then you think about Yeshua, he was transfigured on the mountain. And you're like, okay, he's light. So they were light. They were covered in this glory. And so every time we get close and we just squeeze closer to the Father and we visualize, we see the pieces come together on our lives. And it happens. And you see that brightness and you experience the covering. Last couple of days, in my most tired state of mind, I've been pushing myself to get to that place Brother Herman was talking about. He hit that right on the money when he said, you got to have that go-to place. And you got to have that go-to scripture or chapter, whatever it is. You got to have that go-to place because that's the place where you and the relationship with the Father is. I got up early this morning and I was tired. And I just didn't feel like my get up and go was going. I was tired. I'm like, Father, okay, remember your word, remember your scriptures. I love you. And I did the 60-second. I just got to that place, that go-to place. I was like, 2 Samuel 22. So I pulled up 2 Samuel chapter 22, and I just started going over it. And I'm telling you, it's an incredible moment. There's nothing like it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's just this overwhelming presence of God that comes, and it makes you strong. It makes you full of power. It overrides any weakness. Nobody here should be struggling right now. I'm not saying struggling as far as a financial state, physical state. Whatever you're struggling or feel like you should be struggling, you shouldn't be struggling, because we have enough information with enough visual in the go-to place to be overwhelmed in His presence to override whatever it is. Whatever it is. The weakness, the strength, whatever it is. I'm telling you, there's a place. I know y'all got to be getting this, what I'm getting. There's this place that is just overwhelms you with His love. There's His peace there, His strength. It's like in worship tonight, the same thing. The same when you're worshiping, and in that place, you're just locked into that place. And there's no place like it. So I just want to go there real quick before we get into the beginning. I just have to go there in 2 Samuel chapter 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. And I know I read this before, last Torah portion, but this is my go-to. This is my go-to. It empowers me. It gives me strength like you would not believe. This locks me right into His presence, and I have my relationship there, and I'm like, I knew you were there. I know you're there. And I'm just locked in, and now I have this strength. Now I have this peace. And then I'm there in His presence. And there's nothing that can get in. There's nothing. And it's just this covering. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I'm just telling you, this covering. And David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies, for the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of the grave entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called, Yahweh. From His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry came to His ears. And then the earth reeled and rocked, and the foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked, because He was angry and smoke went up from His nostrils and devouring fire from His mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from Him. He bowed the heavens. And when I get to that part right there, He bowed the heavens for Him and came down. Thick darkness was under His feet. I just picture Yahweh. Yahweh is Yahweh, you know. You picture Yahweh. You're trying to visualize my God. And He says, thick darkness was under His feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. This is my strength. This is my power. This is my source. He rode on a cherub and He flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around Him as a canopy. Thick clouds are gathering of water. Out of the brightness before Him, coals of fire flame forth. He's incredible. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered, He spoke His voice. And He sent out arrows and He scattered them. Lightning and routed them. And the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord. He is so powerful. At the blast of the breath of His nostrils, He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out of a broad place. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according. And I'm in my moment this morning. I'm like, Lord, if there's anything on me, any blots, any blemish, any unrighteousness, anything that keeps me from you. And then it brought me to my past. You know, I used to be afraid in school. I didn't want to fail because I didn't want to be left behind. My grandfather used to sleep by his bedroom, because I didn't want to be left behind when he left, when he come out. I didn't want to be left behind. And this morning on the boat, even on the boat today, I'm riding out and just start weeping. I said, Lord, I want to do this right because I don't want to be left. I don't want to be left. I want to be with you. I want to go with you. And I was just thinking about that all day today. I don't want to be left. I want to do what's right. If there's any spot, any blemish, anything in me, please. And just making sure that I'm clean before His sight, because that's what He likes. That's what He wants. And I want to be in His presence. There's nothing like being in His presence. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His rules were before me. And I'm thinking about this. For all His rules are before me. I'm thinking about the Torah, the Tanakh, the Brit Hadishah, the seed war, all the things about Cain. Adam and Eve in their glorious state, and then the mistake that Cain made, and then what Abel did right. And just visualizing all this stuff. I want to do your rules and do what's right, because I love being in your presence. I don't ever want to leave out of your presence. And then you're in that quiet place in that time. I kept myself from guilt. You know, you're not in His presence when you know you're guilty of something. That guilt, it just weighs you down. We talked about that before. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His sight. I just want to be clean before you, Father. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. And then I stop again. I'm like, oil. I need the oil. I got to keep reading. I got to keep digging. I got to keep praying. I got to keep searching. I got to keep staying in my relationship to continually gather all the parts of the body. Brother Herman, Brother Josh, all these, I'm feeding off of them continually. Everybody feeding off of everybody and putting that oil in. And it keeps my lamp lit, right? It keeps my lamp lit. And my God lightens my darkness, for by you I can, and that's the part right there, my day's set. I could run against a troop. I can climb a wall. I could scale a wall. I could bend a bow of bronze. You're my strength. I'm ready to go. I'm all strengthened up. I was tired this morning. And I have to get done with that, and I'm in His presence. It's like you said. You get refreshed. Pastor said there's a spot sometimes. I stay up all night long. I get no rest, but the Lord rejuvenates me. Gives me strength and power. I'm like, man, I want that. And I'm starting to experience that. It's incredible. And so my wife called me up today. And I said, how's your day going? She said, I'm tired. I said, hey, your go-to place. I'm telling you, there's strength there. There's power there. Your go-to place. And even today when I came in, after a long day, going through the waves. It's pretty tough today, you know, fishing and everything. When you get home, you're tired. You're like, okay, man, I got the Torah. I'm tired, and I'm just sitting in my go-to place. And I'm telling you, it comes again. You weep like you would not weep. It's incredible. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure in the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. And you made my enemies turn their backs to me. Those who hated me and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but He did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and became trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. That's my go-to place. That's where I go in the morning, in the evening, when I'm tired, when I'm not feeling good, when I have a fear about something, when something's just going on, it's not right, I go there. And then you visualize. You visualize on the beginning. And then when you visualize in the beginning, Father Spirit, everything goes into play. You hear when the covering cherub comes and whispers something in your ear that just doesn't line up. You catch up. You catch on to it immediately. You hear what he's telling you. Like I was running on the airboat the other day. And things just started coming to my head. You start thinking. You know when it's quiet to yourself? You start thinking. And all of a sudden things start coming to mind. And things start coming. I'm not going to get into detail about it, but things start coming, and you start listening, and then you match it up with what you know. You already know it already, right? You already have it in you, and the Spirit tells you about it, and you override the covering cherub, you know, Hasatan. You override him just like Yeshua did, the same way. And when you do that, you constantly keep your peace and your focus, and you're good to go. I was thinking about, there's a worship song that we've been working on right now, but there's just a couple of words in it that I keep with me every day. Because when his love comes, it does. It's his love. It isn't anxious, and it isn't nor is it restless. His love isn't a troubled mind. His love is unashamed and proud to be seen with. When I think about that, you know, the Lord loves to be with you, and he's not ashamed to be with you. And I think about that, and I'm like, man, he loves to be with me. He's proud to be with me. He loves to be with me. And I just think about that all the day. He loves to be seen with me. He loves being with me. His love hangs on every one of his words. His love hangs on every one of his words. He keeps his promises, and that's why his love is pure. Every one of his words is true and stands true to it. And I tell him now, I say, Father, you are so true to your word. You're so true to your promises. Nothing can penetrate your love. And I have never been the same since I understand clearly what it's like in the beginning with Adam and Eve, the way Eve was deceived, and she knew better, but she crossed the line, and the brightness left. And the love of her husband not to leave, you know what I'm saying? And in the love of Yeshua towards me, and that's what triggered me off today. That's what I was thinking about today on the boat. I said, you won't leave me. You won't leave me. Thank you, Yeshua. You didn't leave me in my state I was in. I thought about that today. You didn't leave me. I was broken and lost, like the song said. And I was thinking about that today. Adam didn't leave his bride. Yeshua didn't leave me. He called me one day. I heard his voice. And still today, his voice still calls the Holy Spirit, the same one. I can hear him clear as day. He says, just keep following me. You follow me. Nobody in here should struggle. You shouldn't. All the stuff we have. All the visualizing that we have. The only reason you'll be struggling is if you're not really bearing down into it and getting the visual. Really thinking about it. getting everything you can the Thursdays, the Sundays, and burying yourself in it and thinking about it and visualizing, what did they do? How did they make it? What did Yeshua refer to? Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. He keeps telling us, go back to the beginning. You got to visualize. Look at Adam and Eve. And you go back to a bride and a bridegroom. It's a marriage. It's a marriage state. I had two guys on my boat today, and I prayed about it. It was supposed to be five. Two on one boat and three on another. And I said, Father, whoever you want on my boat today, that's who I want. Despite what any man says or anything that goes on today, this is what I want. I want to be that light and that salt. I don't know these people. So everything the enemy tried to do to try and disregard certain people that are supposed to come on a boat in this way, I just sat back and I could hear him tell me, shh, listen, I got this. I mean, no man could override what I got planned. Nobody can override anything I got going on today. I was here before you even got here today. Now listen. And so we got this other charter guide. He's, you know, everybody's trying to be the big shot. So I'm just sitting there listening. There ain't no guys got them picked out. So these two guys come on the boat today. We have a great time fishing. We come on in. And so they asked me a couple of times if I wanted a beer. And I said, no, I'm good. I don't want no beer. And then we're cleaning fish. And the guy asked me, he said, hey, you want any fish to take home? And I said, no, I got enough fish. I got plenty of fish. I was supposed to cook last night. When I came home, my wonderful wife had already cooked a supper or dinner for me, and I wasn't going to avoid that, you know, because she worked really hard to cook my meal. And they're like, man, you got a good wife. I said, let me tell you, I am blessed with the wife that I have. I said, I'm so blessed. I said, what about y'all? Not so. He said, you know, isn't it ironic? We both out here. He said, we're kind of just taking some time to relax. This is a blessing to us. They said work with this company, and they blessed us to be able to come and fish. They're not paying for it. You know, the company is. They said, but it's ironic that my buddy and I, my worker here, we both, our wives left us just recently. And I said, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. And I could hear the father. He said, here you go. Like, here we go. So I was able to start sharing. I said, you know, there was a time in my life, me and my wife, marriage was being ripped apart. I said, we was done. I said, before the lawyers and all that came to split us up and everything and go separate ways, you know. And then I started sharing. I said, see that guy over there? That's Jesse. I work with him. That's my pastor, my church. And, you know, I walked in that church Sunday morning, and he was talking about family values. And I was able to share with him. You know, I was messed up on drugs, my wife and I, da, da, da. And they're sitting there listening, you know. And I said, I give God all the glory for it, you know. And so they were like, wow, that's awesome, man. And then one of the guys says, you know, my dad, he's addicted to cigarettes, you know, and he has a tough time. And I was able to share with him. I said, you know, cigarettes, food. I said, look at my wife. My wife, she had weighed a certain amount. I didn't share the weight. I said, she weighed a certain amount. I said, and then these past 2 years, she's been working really hard and diligently, disciplining herself to lose this weight. And she has. But you got to want it. I said, like God. I said, we love God. We fell in love with God. I said, well, you just got to want it. I said, your dad, the cigarettes, same thing. I said, you know what the problem is mostly in this world today? The cigarettes, the eating the foods and all that. We get anxiety. We worry and fret. And we find something to hold on to. We cling on to the cigarette. We cling on to the food. We cling on to stuff rather than clinging on to God. I said, and so when you cling on to God, all that stuff. And then again, you got to want it. You got to want it with everything that's in you. Like, you're right, man, that's right. I said, you know, I've been going to this church and born again for over 20 years. I said, and it's just these past 2 years, just these past 2 years that we've been digging into some new truths. I said, you know, it was always handed down, you know, where you go to a church, they teach you something, you believe whatever they say is true. I said, but we've been doing some research, backtracking, saying maybe there might be a possibility that something ain't true. And so we've been back there looking through some things. I said, and we're finding out some things that we held on to and got offensive every time somebody come against it, that, hey, we was wrong and false in some areas. I said, so I want to encourage you to go look at some things, you know, get in your Bible. I said, don't you know it's wrong to take a Bible and rip it in half and go with a New Testament and just forget about the beginning of the book? I said, do you read a book and get the whole thing by just reading half of it? And they're like, you're right, man. You're right. So I said, you don't have to believe it. I'm telling you it's true. I said, but go back and start looking in your Bible. Start from the beginning. I said, we got to get this thing from the beginning to the end. Not, we got it all backwards, you know. And I said, go back and do some researching on that stuff. I said, we got the internet. Internet's incredible. I said, at the same time, you got to watch some of the stuff on the internet. And the other guy's like, yeah, you're right about that. We can get way off track. I said, you can. I said, but you pray and ask God to give you that wisdom. And I said, you'll get some truths out of it. So then went my day asking the Father. And you see, now you're salt and light. So you get into the presence of the Father and you love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, all your strength. And then that's loving your neighbor as yourself. You're able to share. So there's no way you can get around being in His presence and His light and getting off on somebody else when you're locked in there. So there's no way, it's impossible that we can't make it every day in our, our Garden of Eden encounter every day. Every one of us is going to go through it. And we can be successful in it no matter what state we're in. We can be covered, overshadowed by the Most High, through His Son, by His Spirit, if we just follow all of this stuff. So following Yeshua, by His Spirit, we have found ourselves back in the beginning with a solid foundation and the start of the pattern of eternal life and the light for others to follow. We can go back and look at, just as well as Adam and Eve, we can look at the example we talked about. It's another one with Cain. When we let sin that crouches at the door rule and reign over us, that's when we're in trouble. It's sitting there crouching at the door. We have our chance to override it or let it rule us, and it brings us down, just like it did for Cain. Or we can choose to do what's right, do what Abel did, and have the Father say it as well, right? So the pattern does start in the beginning. We have to go back in the beginning. Without a true visual of the beginning, we'll continue to struggle. I talked about that already. Genesis 6, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, creeping things, and birds of the heavens. For I am sorry that I have made them. I want to focus on that word right there, blot. Is that word blot? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, the word blot. Blot. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's in Psalms 51, 9 and 10. Revelations 3, 5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Blot, the Hebrew word, is makah. Blot out, makah. To wipe out, to smear out, to obliterate, to destroy, to erase, to not exist. He says that a tribe be not blotted out or destroyed in Judges 21:17. To blot men out even by tribes. And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin that a tribe not be blotted out from Israel. It's clear, blotted out to not exist. Yahweh was angry on this day. That's what I get when I read this. I don't know what you get, but he was angry. But we have Noah. We have somebody doing something that he likes. Noah, his name meaning rest, has found favor. Again, we find out we don't want to be joined in with the crowd or side with those the Most High is angry with. And in chapter 6, we find a lot of that going on, what's going on today. Don't get caught up in those places, because we're going to find ourselves in a place of the people he's angry with. You don't want to be on the side where he's angry. We just talked about it in 2 Samuel chapter 22. He loved David. And the people he prayed to the Father about, the Father came down with breathing breath in his. I'm telling you, he was not happy with those people. You don't want to be caught on that side. We find out we don't want to be joined in with the crowd or side with the Most High is angry with. What he likes and what he doesn't like. Being at rest with one like Noah, like Abel, what he likes. That's the side we want to be on, right? He liked what Abel did. That's the side I want to be on. Being at rest with one like Noah, like Abel, what he likes. That's the side I want to be on. Doing what he likes is favor, reward unlimited of what he will do for us. Cain and man at the time, what he doesn't like, what he wipes out and destroys, his curses and his punishment after his prolonged grace. You know, when you read that, you see prolonged grace, don't you? A lot of patience and letting time go on and time go on until finally just gets to that point. And we see it happening fast today. But his prolonged grace, his prolonged love, his patience, his mercy, and his kindness at that time and at this time today. So we have the full pictured map of life in the beginning. Isaiah 43, 9 through 10. Isaiah 43, 9 through 10. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? See the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. In the beginning, there is none else. It is he and only he that should deserve all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. So that stuck out to me in Isaiah and the Torah portion. Also in John chapter 1, 1 through 3. It's in our Torah portion, so I'll turn right there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So there it is again, in the beginning, from the Brit Hadashah all the way back to Genesis. By faith we understand that we'll get to this word, universe. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. That's in the Brit Hadashah tonight. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith, we understand that see that word, universe? That's Shamayim. Shamayim was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Shamayim is sky, the heavens. So we read in the beginning about the sky, and about the heavens. We talked about Rakia. You see what I'm talking about? The visual. You visualize all this stuff as you're going throughout your day, looking up at the sky. He's got us on every side. We should be so consumed with him, nothing should be able to penetrate. It's incredible. Today I'm riding on a boat, and I'm going inland, and all of a sudden I see out the corner of my eye a little rainbow sheening right there, like the dome. You know, you know it. It's incredible, isn't it? At night, I run my dogs. I look up. Yeah, they're right there. It's incredible. You're just overwhelmed with them. We shouldn't be struggling, people. You know what I'm saying? The only reason we're struggling is because we need to get it right. Okay? Rock, Rakia, firmament, the vault, the hard glass dome. This is all in the beginning. It's all right there. The first day in Yahweh's order. Get this one. Genesis 1:5. This just stuck to me. After all the teachings, you know, sometimes you just don't get it the first time you hear it. Sometimes pastor could teach it to us And I'm still kind of, huh? You know, but all of a sudden you got those days when you're talking with the Father and you're looking at you like, oh, I got that. So it goes with tonight. Watch this. Genesis 1:5. Okay. The first day in Yahweh's order. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And it was evening, and it was morning, the first day. And I talked to him the other day, and he said it was backwards, the way the enemy's done it. So I don't understand it. And so I was riding on the boat, and I'm like, oh, it hit me. The sun. Okay, so we got this kind of surface. We don't have no big global ball. I'm like, okay, in the evening, the sun's taking over all the darkness, and it's making full circle, and it's the whole day, and it's coming back to me to finish the full day. I said, it's a full day from evening to morning. Not morning to evening. That doesn't make any sense, right? That's backwards. You got to put the light on the whole picture, make the full circle. So this evening at noonday, right, the sun's going that way, and it's going to make full circle. My word will not return void, right? It makes full circle. It's all patterns. It all matches. Makes full circle. Every bit of it. I'm like, yeah, so Saturday afternoon, this is starting my new day. All the way around the sea in the morning. Right? Right. Taking over all the darkness. Did y'all already see that already? Be honest. Who saw that already like that? Raise your hand. You didn't see it already? My wife. Amen. All right. Whew, thank you, Lord. All right. So, starting at noonday, wherever a person stands is where the sun's starting point for you. And it makes full circle and it returns back to wherever you are the next morning, right? Full circle. That's his promise. And it still stands. Fifth day, sixth day. When you read it, and that was the day. Evening, morning. I love it. I enjoy it. Brother AJ is going to listen to this and say, boy, that boy is on something. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it, and the sun will accomplish its purpose. It stays on its circuit, and it makes full circle. Same pattern. Psalms 119:160. The sum of your word is truth. Hold up a second. 119, 160. Might be in the King James. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. It doesn't have the word I'm looking for there. Let's go to Isaiah 46:10. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. See the beginning? And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good. This is just scriptures with the beginning in it. So, declaring the end from the beginning. We got to go back to the beginning. This beginning is the core, foundation. 2 John 1:5-6. Second John 1:5-6. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. 2 John 1:6. I just read that one. 1 John 3:11 through 12. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Wait a minute. 1 John 3. Well, 1 John 3. I'm in 3 John. 1 John 3. 11 through 12. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who is of the evil one, who slew his brother. And for that reason, what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. 1 John 2, 1 through 7. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself walk in the same manner as He walked. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And then the last one, 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Did I see the verse on that one? Yep. Chapter 3, verse 4. Says, they will say, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all these things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Right? Amen? Beginning. We got to go back to the beginning. Back in Genesis 3:3, we got to keep in mind also, we learned this the other night, that Eve, she was deceived. She was caught off guard. Any one of us can be deceived if we're not careful to follow. It says in Genesis 3:3, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She got it wrong. The covering cherub has been doing his work. And the only way you're going to override the covering cherub is to know this. You have to know this. You got to visualize it. All of the beginning. Genesis 1 through chapter 6. Visualize. And again, visualizing, reading and visualizing the beginning does us no good unless it's applied. So I could be honest with everyone here tonight that this Torah portion has been doing a work on me. It's overriding the stuff that's not supposed to be and continually putting righteousness and constantly pushing you right, pivoting right into the spot where you're supposed to be every time. You've got to make your decision. You pause, you visualize, and you speak what's right. And it happens. It happens, and it stays. So there's no reason we should be struggling. We just stay continually focused do our Torah portions. Be on Thursday. If you can't be on Thursday, keep up to date on a weekly basis. Go over it. Visualize. Perform. You ought to be good to go. You ought to be staying in His covering, His presence. Overwhelmed with His love. There's no love like His. Does anybody have anything? All right. Okay. Okay.